The Drive is brought to you on demand by Assignar Construction Operations Software. Visit keepbuilding.com for a free demonstration and see how much your business can save.
It's after 5 o'clock.
Fourth and goal, Sincere rolling. He's going to throw. It is caught and a touchdown, and it's McBride.
Just thought I'd throw in some CSU highlights for you there.
There you go. I appreciate it. Hey, I'm rooting for Trey McBride. That'd be awesome if this guy gets drafted in the first round. That's hard to do. Really, really hard to get drafted in the first round as a tight end. So that'd be incredible.
CSU Pro Day today. Good for Trey McBride. It is 5 o'clock. The Nuggets are about to get underway with the Indiana Pacers. There was a report out today by our pal Mike Singer that it's a bit of a setback for Michael Porter Jr. We haven't heard anything about Jamal Murray. There's 6 games left. And then a fascinating concept that are the Nuggets better off finishing 6th than 5th? They're currently tied with the sliding Jazz who cannot get out of their way. They've lost 5 in a row. They blew a 25-point lead. So here you go, Nuggets, after being humiliated by the Celtics at home. What Michael Malone said was a home game for the Celtics. You have got yourself back into a position that you may be moving up. Huge game against the Timberwolves on Friday night at Ball Arena, Tyler. And frankly, if they win tonight and they beat Minnesota on Friday, they may be better off losing 4 games in a row, depending on when you want to possibly face the Phoenix Suns in the playoffs.
Yeah. Amazing that they're back in that exact same situation. They've been in that situation 2 years in a row. Michael Malone has played that game. He's not shied away from playing that game of trying to get the matchup that he wants in the playoffs. So if he feels like they'd be better off not being seated higher, well, he will play that game. He's done in the past. I would wonder this year, should it be a little bit different? This year, you've got really unique circumstances where you've been waiting so long for Jamal Murray, for Michael Porter Jr. Michael Porter Jr. just had a setback. Feels extremely unlikely that you're going to get him back. What's more important at this point in this year with this team? Is it getting the right matchup, or is it playing really good basketball going into the playoffs, knowing that you don't have any saviors coming and making sure that the vibes and the tempo feels good?
We will have the Bet River Sportsbook presenting the fans' postgame show powered by the Denver Gazette at the end of the Nuggets game. The Avalanche news, if you just are tuning in, Nathan MacKinnon was back on the ice for around 40 minutes at Family Sports. There's video of it, denverfan.com. Mike Chambers also has an article about it, the Denver Post. And Adrian Dater reported it originally. Props to Dater for putting it out there. Because nobody was expecting Nathan MacKinnon, who came back early from the team, suspecting that he has a serious hand injury, because Jared Bednar would lead you to believe that when he said the probability, the risk or something. It was like, you know, danger zone. Meanwhile, the Avalanche get a unbelievable gutsy win last night, 2-1 over the Calgary Flames, who they may face again in the Western Conference Finals. A really gutsy win by them, considering the lines were crazy, the MacKinnon news was going on, and they still managed to win. Fantastic. So where are we today with the Avalanche?
Well, I feel great about the Avalanche. I love the fact that they got a good, tough, gritty win in there without Nathan MacKinnon. It feels more optimistic today than it did yesterday with Nathan MacKinnon, although I would caution you this. Don't feel like we're out of the woods with him just because he was out on ice. This does happen. I've been there. You get injuries. You come home. You don't travel with the team when they go on the road, whatever it might be. And you're at home. You're working. Well, part of the process is always feeling out where you're at. And sometimes you don't know until you get out there and you go out there and you do football things. You get out there on the ice. You do hockey things. It's absolutely encouraging. And he wouldn't be out on the ice unless he felt like he might have an opportunity, because he would be doing rehab otherwise. That's the schedule. You go through the rehab, then you do individuals. You skate on your own. Then you get out there with the team. So he's feeling it out. But it's not a guarantee that we're out of the woods by any means, because sometimes you go out there and you test it and you're like, hey, I tried and it sucked. I don't like the way it feels.
My question is, why didn't he just come back to Denver after the Minnesota game? Why even go with the team to Canada at all? And... Was Was he? I see. I don't even know what's going on here. Was he made to go to Canada, to Calgary? Did he? Was he upset about going up there for whatever reason? I am. To me, there feels like there's. Listen, this is just a feeling I have. It's just a feeling, but it feels like there's something else kind of quirky going on here. I don't get it, man. I actually just don't get it. If it really wasn't that bad and he was with his team, Tyler, guys get scratched from games all the time and they just come back with the team. I don't know what the answer is. Maybe I shouldn't even care, because at the end of the day, all we care about is that he's healthy and he's good to go, which hopefully that's the case. By the way, a caller here.
Okay.
Trevor. Trevor, you're on the Fan. Go ahead, Trevor. What do you got to say about Nathan MacKinnon?
Hey, guys. I think it was a smart move by the Avs to, send him back to Denver, get evaluated, make the call. Do I think that it's right that he needs to come back right away? I don't think so. I think, we need to probably sit him down, rest him for a few days. And, there's 16 games left in the season. Let's rest him a little bit.
Well, we'll find out. We'll find out, right?
Yeah. Well, it's hey, Trevor, it's funny you say that, because Bednar has been asked about that. Thank you for the call, Trevor. It's a really good question. The Avalanche are in a very interesting situation, and Bednar had talked about, Tyler, not LTIR, which is really long-term stuff. They're not doing that. In fact, they kind of gloated about that on social media, like, hey, we don't need to do this, and they're not doing it.
Well, they made a big stink out of it with Vegas last year, so it'd be tough for them to do it.
But I do think an occasional night off for your star players as you wrap up the season is a good idea.
Yeah.
And we'll see how they manage it as we go down to the wire. But I'm not against that whatsoever. They've earned the right to be able to do that, because winning the President's Trophy,
it guarantees a loss.
Right. And the only advantage it gives you is if, say, Florida also makes it to the Stanley Cup Finals, so you have home ice against that team in the Eastern Conference. Other than that, there's really not a whole heck of a lot else to do. The Avalanche have 100 points already. If they somehow get to 117, it'll be the most successful team ever, and I think they got like 15 games, so they need about 16 points or something like that out of 30 possible points that remain. They could easily do it. It's crazy.
There's definitely an argument to be had there. Whether he's hurt or not, should you just start managing workload a little bit? It's what football teams do. It's what every team's do. Like, the reason why the Chiefs rest starters in week 17 is because they've got everything guaranteed of what they know that they need to get guaranteed, or they're satisfied with where they are. Sometimes teams that aren't number one seeds, sometimes they will rest starters just because they're satisfied with being in the playoffs. As soon as you know that you've got the destiny that you were looking for and you're okay with it, yeah, you can make an argument that Nikola Jokic should be taking time off right now. The Michael Malone should be resting those guys.
Tyler, we have a conspiracy theory. Was Bednar sending a message to MacKinnon by sending him on home early as discipline for fighting?
No. No. Absolutely not. If he was going to do that to discipline him, he wouldn't have brought him on the trip. I know we love a good conspiracy, but if he was being disciplined, you wouldn't have brought him on the trip at all.
That's a fun one right there, though.
How do you get over that he brought him on the trip?
Maybe the problem didn't happen. It's a conspiracy music hit again, please. Okay. I can keep going down the wormhole if you want me to. Perhaps there was a confrontation later on.
Oh, they didn't talk about it till they got
to Canada.
Okay.
And then once that happened, it was like, you know what, Nate? Why don't you go home?
I'm kind of mad at you.
Mm-hmm. Why don't you go home and think about it, man?
You know what? You're not a star player, so don't think you're going to get special treatment, right? Is that what you're telling Nathan?
Remember when we talked about, like, how did he get home? And sitting in the Calgary airport waiting for the ticket home ain't exactly flying on a private plane with the Avalanche home, is it?
That's definitely what happens, though.
Right?
I mean, most of the time in football, you end up staying an extra night. You don't go home early because there's no trips like that. But sometimes you get hurt and you can't get on the plane, or you get a concussion and they don't want you to get on the plane. So they leave you an extra night, and they'll leave somebody with you, by the way.
Sure.
They'll leave somebody from the staff.
Sure.
And then you get on a commercial flight and you jump on JetBlue and you come home.
Oh, you don't want to be here? Guess what? Calgary Airport. We're sending Gordy. Gordy the bag boy is going to accompany you. Good West. Oh, by the way, I was told Southwest does not fly to Calgary. I was actually told that. Good luck on United, you know, Air Canada. I don't know. Whoever flies, you know, Air Hoser,
right.
Whatever flies in and out of Calgary to Denver. Ooh, maybe it's a multi-stop. Maybe you got to stop in Minneapolis before you get home to Denver.
Well, I could easily see that happening. I mean,
oh, my God.
Are there really direct flights from Denver to Calgary? I don't know.
Guys, can we look it up? Are there direct flights from Calgary? You know what, specifically? Can we just look up the flights out of Calgary?
There are direct flights
yesterday?
Just about everywhere in the world to Denver.
Well, look up, hey guys, if you can, try to find the direct flights from Calgary to Denver yesterday. Let's see if they exist. I don't know, man. I don't know. Inquiring want minds. Listen, man, if he wasn't skating today, I would just assume there was, you know, this is all on the up and up. It is just quirky. It's quirky stuff.
Yeah, it's weird.
There's probably nothing to it. There's probably nothing to it. And all we want is for Nathan MacKinnon to be okay. But texter, he thought of that. I didn't even think of that one. It's a texter out there.
You know, you guys absolutely are within your rights to not want him fighting. Of course, you've got sound logic on that. That's not even debatable. You've got sound logic on why you don't want him to be fighting. But to think that anybody in the organization is punishing him is insane.
You
seriously.
Get out of the text line.
To think that there's a teammate that's upset with him is insane. To think that a coach would actually punish him for getting in a fight? Come on. I mean, this is just ridiculous at this point.
All right. Text line. You guys are out of your mind if you think Nathan MacKinnon is being disciplined in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah, I don't. I don't know if I made that clear or not, but I do not believe that.
No, you're clear.
Yeah.
Frontier. Does Frontier doesn't fly direct from Calgary to Denver?
I don't know.
Frontier?
I mean, budget, you know.
You think like Nathan MacKinnon was getting on the plane with a rabbit on the tail?
He also had to pay for his water.
United flies direct. United and Air Canada fly direct. All right. I mean, you're getting him a first class seat at least, aren't you? Can you get first class on United and Air Canada?
Well, you can on United.
You can on United.
I've never been on Air Canada. Yeah. I've never been to Canada.
What? Wait, what?
I've never been to Canada.
Ever?
Why would I have had a reason to go to Canada?
I don't know. It's a pretty awesome country.
Hey, do they have a
Montreal?
Team?
They have the Alouettes.
Yeah, not a team that I played.
There you go, big shot.
That's
there
right.
You go. There,
that's
you,
right.
Go.
Maybe Nick played them.
Wow, so, Mr. Undrafted.
Yeah, well,
pretty high and mighty,
you know,
for you.
I just got the pedigree over here, you
are
know.
You about to rip on some football team in Germany and rip on Nate Jackson? You gonna tear him apart?
Thank God that thing ended before I had to go over there, else I would have been over there. There's no question.
Oh my God. United has first class. Oh, Air Canada has first class. All right. Get some free Canadian bacon on first class. You know, you get some Canadian bacon and a Tim Hortons donut.
Does anybody have a photo of MacKinnon at the airport?
Because you're not flying into Centennial, right? You'd have to just fly into
DIA.
You're
going to DIA.
Right.
Yes,
he'd be on the train.
By the way, you never fly into Centennial because the planes are too big. Actually, I don't know about hockey, but how many people travel with hockey?
Oh, man, that's a good. Well, I used to do it. Do it with the Sabres when I worked for the Sabres.
How many people would you say?
40.
Well,
kind of
maybe
a mid-size.
That's probably getting too big, I'm guessing.
You think 40
is too big for... I mean, in football, we never had an option to fly into...
You guys... Yeah.
Give us the big one.
You got the big one.
Right.
The crazy is the basketball. Basketball's like, you know.
Oh, that's private jets.
You're headed to the fire fest on the Pablo Escobar Island on the basketball jets.
Maybe the Nuggets could borrow Russell Wilson's jet.
Yeah, right. Could you get a 40-seater landing at Centennial?
I'm going to guess no.
You think so? You think that's a little too big?
That sounds big.
Man, we flew out of a private airport with the Sabres, though, Tyler. We did not fly out of, Cheektowaga International. We flew out of a private area. I don't know. My knowledge of private planes is limited. I just think it'd be great to have Nathan MacKinnon on the train, hearing Nathan MacKinnon welcome people to DIA.
Hey, that's me.
Okay. All right. MacKinnon was C-52 boarding on Southwest after being grounded.
They didn't even give him the early bird.
Oh, my God. Yes, fellas, we, a pilot on United, we fly United to and from Calgary. I fly for United. Well, there you go.
Are you flying right now?
Who knows? Centennial Airport can take planes that seat up to 90 people. We got the smartest.
You ask and you find out.
Isn't it ridiculous?
Now, we're assuming that they're right. We just assume that it's a fact. But, you know, you ask, you find out on the text line.
Oh, God, too funny. Okay, well, that's Nathan MacKinnon. And we got Nuggets basketball underway. They're up 10-4 with 4 minutes gone in the first quarter. There you go, Jeff Green just picking up a foul. He's being aggressive, though. Where do you think we are with the Broncos in terms of the draft and what they need the most? Like, in terms of what you think the Broncos can get out of the draft, Tyler, where do you think they are?
Well, the beautiful part is that George Payton set you up that you can just take the best player. You really can. You've addressed the most significant needs. You got a pass rusher. You got a slot corner. You got the quarterback. You got a right tackle. All of your glaring needs, you addressed. Inside linebacker, well, like, you got bodies, right? You got people that if you got to play the whole season, okay, you'd like to get better, but you can. So that's the most beautiful part of it, is that you've set yourself up for taking the best football player to help the Denver Broncos. Now, I've always thought that first and second round, it is best player available at a position of need. And it's always going to be a combination. We're in really weird territory. We've got the last pick in the second round. Mm-hmm. So unless they move up into the second round, you've more or less got a third round pick. And in my opinion, once you get to the third round, it gets pretty simple. You don't really have to think about the draft too much. You just go by your rankings and you take the best player that's on the board. And at that point, it's more or less auto draft. Like, seriously, anybody can do it. Once you got your rankings done, you just trust the rankings and you take the best player. I still think that they will combine it. The most likely pick with the last pick in the second round is going to be a position of need. So I would say that is an edge rusher, that is a safety. Those are two still pretty big needs on this team.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe an inside linebacker, maybe a right tackle. But in I would bet, if I had to bet, it comes down to between safety and edge rusher.
Okay, and it's hard to just recall everything necessarily, but your memories of Caden Stearns as a safety or what?
Well, good. I mean, he popped out when he needed to pop out. He made plays. He had interceptions. He certainly didn't have any moments that he was getting circled on national TV. Well, we only had one of those, but, you know, he didn't have any moments where he was getting circled on TV because he got exposed in coverage. I would say a very positive first year for Caden Stearns. Was it the type of year that you're ready to move over from Kareem Jackson to Caden Stearns? No, you're not ready to fully trust him just yet.
Do you feel they'll get a deal done with Kareem Jackson?
Yeah.
I do too.
I thought, okay, about a week ago, I thought that Bryce Callahan was going to be the most important free agent left that was from the Broncos.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then they went out and they got Kaywan Williams.
Right.
So
took care of that one.
Now you could have argued, is it going to be Melvin Gordon or is it going to be Kareem Jackson?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they really have much interest at all in Melvin Gordon.
I don't either.
I mean, maybe there's a price, but that's a really low price from what I understand.
They've already brought in two running backs to look at from college on their official visits here. I agree.
George Payton's already told us that he would love to bring Kareem Jackson back. Right. I think he might have said that about Melvin, too, to be totally fair.
Yeah,
I do think he said that about Melvin. But it's a bigger need on this football team. And Kareem is he's such a passionate football player
right.
that you hate to lose guys like that. Because even if he's not at his best, you know he's going to bring passion, and passion brings out the best in your peers.
Well, I'm a little confused here. I am such a I'm a huge Kareem Jackson fan. I'm actually a big, healthy Bryce Callahan fan.
Oh, me too.
I think he's a hell of a player. But the injury stuff, and they've already moved on. So not to say anything negative about Bryce Callahan, but it seems like they've already made a decision there. What is it about Kareem that doesn't have them sold to bring him back already? Like, what's the hesitation here?
Age, money. Age and money. That's it. It's not complicated. You don't want to pay a lot of money for guys that are old. And Kareem probably thinks he's still worth a decent amount of money. And by the way, this is a really weird year. If you looked at the free agents that are still out there, you'd be like, well, holy cow, Odell Beckham Jr. doesn't have a team. You've got Bobby Wagner doesn't have a team. You go down the list, there are superstars. There are really good football players that are still without a team right now. Kareem Jackson's actually pretty low on that list of the top flight free agents that are still out there. So Kareem might think that he is still worth significant money because he knows his value. He knows he's a good football player. But he doesn't have a whole lot of leverage right now.
I hope they bring back Kareem.
Me too.
I think there's an intangible with Kareem that, in terms of that lead, you know what? I do think at the end of the day, having Boogie Cousins on the Nuggets has been absolutely, not even at the end of the day, it's just beyond obvious, it's been a very positive thing. The only thing that was just like, whoa, what's going on? Seriously, was after that Celtics game. When Jokic made a point, no, I didn't say anything. I played poorly. I didn't say anything. And then you're hearing the loudest voice in the locker room was Boogie Cousins. It was just a moment of like, oh, okay, well, hold on a second. Why is this guy, you know, that big of a leader?
Why isn't it Nikola?
Exactly. And then I just don't think it's in Nikola's nature. But he's going to be the MVP, should be the MVP. He's an unbelievable player. He just really felt bad about not playing as well as he usually does. Not that he even played that bad, but he took the blame of how poorly they played on his own shoulders. So to me, it was just like, oh my gosh, maybe it's not right having Boogie Cousins be that loud. Well, I'm just kind of, you know, you kind of start and stop with that. All I know about Kareem Jackson is the dude is a freaking leader. His intangibles, he doesn't stop talking. He brings the level of intensity up no matter where he is, I think in a positive way. I'm just a gargantuan fan of Kareem Jackson.
Me too. Would love to have him back.
And I don't think a draft pick can match that, man. I mean, I know there's longevity and you got to build the team the right way and all that.
Well, you can do both. You can do both. You can bring Kareem back for another one-year deal and you can draft a guy.
All right, you got a question for Tyler, Mount Palumbus. Speak 303-713-1043. These Nuggets, my goodness. 21-10 with four to go in the first quarter. These guys don't know any gear, but demolition these days on the road. It's wild to watch. This is The Drive on The Fan.
Hey guys, Tyler Palumbus here to tell you about my new friends at Assignar. Colorado contractors get paid faster and save big time money with Assignar managing their construction operations. From instant crew and equipment scheduling to digital time tracking and forms, contractors using Assignar are averaging $30,000 per year in savings. Collect data from the field to make informed decisions from the office with Assignar platform and mobile app. Go to keepbuilding.com to request your free demonstration of Assignar and see how much your business can save.
From the banks of Cherry Creek to the Flatirons of Boulder to the South Stands of Mile High, he's the state of Colorado's native son, a man of mythical and physical proportion, University of Colorado Buffalo's team captain, Denver Broncos Super Bowl 50 champion. He is Mount Palumbus. Who dare attempt scale the mighty Mount Palumbus on this day?
Hey, it's our guy Ian in Englewood. Mount Palumbus Speak is presented by Plumline Services. Turn to the experts you trust. Tyler. Ian.
What's up?
Is there a particular reason why this year's free agency seems unique? I feel like a lot of big-name players have changed teams, and as you just mentioned, some big-name free agents remain unsigned. Ian Englund.
Mount Palumbus. Speak!
Oh, yeah. There is definitely a big reason why this year is different, because the entire NFL has embraced the Rams, well, blank them draft picks approach towards building a team. Everybody has. It's all been about getting the quarterback, and everybody's going after the proven commodity. The whole league is terrified of this year's class coming out in the draft. Really, nobody wants to draft these guys. So there has been momentum. There has been trades like we have never seen in the history of the NFL with trades at the quarterback spot. I mean, you got Russell Wilson. You've got Matt Ryan. You've got Deshaun Watson. You've got smaller ones like Carson Wentz. There have just been so many gigantic trades going on that, number one, that's taken up resources, that's taken up draft picks, that's slowing down the whole free agency class, because there's been so much time and investment spent on these quarterbacks that it's just created a very unique situation. So I don't know that this is going to last forever.
Mm-hmm.
The NFL definitely goes in cycles. They go towards offense. They go towards running quarterbacks. They go towards the pro style. It all comes in cycles. The current cycle is that they're going towards proven commodities, and they don't really care about the draft. I don't know that that continues forever. Eventually, some teams are going to get bad deals on these trades, and they're not going to work out well. Let's hope that's not the Denver Broncos. But for this year, that's what's happening.
There's something going on right now, and I don't mean to interrupt Mount Palumbus speak, but this is highly unusual.
Okay.
Your Denver Nuggets, after one quarter of play against a professional basketball team, so-called the Indiana Pacers, lead the Pacers 43-15.
Jeez. They're on pace to score 180 points. They're going to have 90 points by halftime. Holy cow.
Well, the 43 is remarkable. In fact, fellas, Kevin and KJ, we may have to look it up. That may be...
Who's got it? Where
the highest scoring first quarter the Nuggets have had, not only... It may be the highest first quarter they've had. It may be the highest scoring quarter they've had all year on any quarter. Guys, maybe look that up. But there is a 28-point difference... After one quarter of play, Jokic, Tyler, in 11 minutes, is plus 22 with 12 points, 7 rebounds, and 5 assists. He almost has a triple-double in 11 minutes.
So that's insane, but I'm actually surprised that he's only got 12 points. Where are all the points coming from?
We got 10 from Barton. I just saw Boogie hit a 3. I mean, we just got points everywhere.
Everybody's got 10 or so.
Jeff Green's got 5. Aaron Gordon's got just a bucket. Bones has a 3. Devon Reed hit a 3. Yeah, what are we from 3? 7 of 12, which is really good, obviously. 17 of 25 from the field, which is 67%. Turnovers, I'm going to guess we don't have any turnovers. Do we have any turnovers? One turnover.
Who was the idiot? Who did it?
Was Jokic.
Jokic, it's time to, you got to learn a lesson, buddy. It's time to learn a lesson. Hey, Michael Malone, you're all about life principles. Teach a principle to Nikola Jokic right now, you know?
The principles.
Don't turn the ball over.
The principles of life are a butt kicking. This game is so out of hand, Campazzo might play. Actually, that's actually serious. That's not even a joke.
Does Malone does he go tell the Pacers they're not allowed to come out after halftime?
The Pacers are 25-51. And 15 points? 2 from 10 for 3. 6 of 25 from the field. Holy cow. 15 points? Okay. All right. There you go. The Nuggets just hit a bucket to start. They now lead by 30. I'm sorry. I don't mean to interrupt.
That's amazing. That's an unbelievable stat.
It's just the game's over.
Pacers started the second. They missed a 3. Then yeah. Boogie gets a nice little spin move in there, drops one in. All right.
Yeah. People have said, what's a safe lead in the NBA?
That.
30 is fine.
Right.
As bad as the Jazz have been, they blew a 25-point lead.
Okay, all right, fun question, serious question.
The Nuggets are going to win this game. It's over.
Jokic should be done for the night.
Pretty much, yes.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah, be done for the night. Just you don't have to play him. If things get interesting, all right, put him back in there.
There's no need.
Why would you put him back out there?
I wouldn't.
Yeah.
He's got 11 minutes. I don't know. Maybe they run him around a little bit for some exercise, but there's no need to do it. No, I would say Boogie Cousins, time to get in shape. have fun, Boogie. Go for 30. You know,
Boogie.
Just
bad
very
turnover.
You know what? You really just don't see. Oh my God. Describe it. Describe it.
Well, first off, it started with a bad turnover from Boogie. It was a terrible pass. Pacers had a wide open breakaway. It was like me in high school, except for he didn't get rejected by the rim. I don't know who that was. Do you know who that was, D-Mac?
Some guy from the Pacers.
It's him, right? Him in the net. He goes up, and he did get rejected by the front of the rim. That was me in high school. He got rejected by the front of the rim.
This is even worse. It was a foul and the play was dead, and he knew the play was dead, and he just bricked the dunk.
Oh, that's great. That makes me feel better about high school.
That just happens.
Yeah, see, even the pros got rejected by the front.
I don't know who number 25 is for the I got the lineup here, but I don't have their numbers. I don't know. It's the Pacers. That's what a 25. You know what, man? Hey, I was here for some of them Nuggets days back. When I first got here, Tyler, the Nuggets were so bad, man. I got here in 99, and that was Bernie Bickerstaff, and those awful before Melo, the pre-Melo years.
Yeah.
Nobody really remembers the pre-Melo years.
I do.
When you're circling the drain at a 25-win season.
You know, for the majority of my life, actually, the Nuggets have had interesting teams, believe it or not. I mean, you had the Alex Smith era, then it got a little bit dry, but then you had AI, you had Carmelo, you had Kenyon Martin. I mean, you tell me that wasn't like the most exciting team in the NBA. That was an incredible era. It was fun. You've had some dry periods, but you've had a lot of eras that have been exciting. They haven't quite done anything with it, but it's been exciting.
All right, so we'll see where it goes. We
have the post, my house, my tumble.
Post game show. Maybe I'm not going to go out with my wife to watch this game.
No.
We've had little date nights.
I saw that. You guys went on a little date night last night?
I know.
You were tweeting on date night. You shouldn't tweet on date night.
Two nights ago, yeah.
Oh, was that two nights?
Two nights ago.
Hey, Mac, I can. Right, what day is today?
It's Wednesday.
Right. Are you sure? Friday?
Maybe it's next week
already.
I've
sworn it was Friday.
Game balls, we'll give them away next.
Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive with Tyler Palumbus and D-Mac.
So, yeah, that was the most points the Nuggets had in the first quarter all year. I wonder if it's the most points they've had in any quarter. 43? I don't know, man. 54-32, so the Pacers are, the Pacers have outscored the Nuggets 17-11 so far in the second. So they've crawled back by 6 points. Hey, Tyler, today we are celebrating what would have been the 87th birthday of my pal Irv Brown. And to help honor Irv's legacy, we're encouraging you to donate to the Irv Brown Champion Center. Built in Arvada to help create opportunities for kids to learn about careers in sports. You can go to denverfan.com and click the link at the top. Hearing Joel Klatt talk about essentially being introduced to our pal Sal and getting in on the broadcast.
That was a fun story.
It was
morning.
What a great story.
Yeah.
And then we had a company meeting here, and we saw Sal. I was like, Sal, you're the man, Joel, and all that. And the way that Irv Brown reached out and contributed to this community is the stories are kind of ridiculous because almost every single person you run into will have an Irv Brown story. So I'll tell you mine just really quick. There's a lot of them. This show was done by Irv and Joe on an incredibly high level for many years, afternoons.
Yeah, right.
So coming here to, and Mike and Sandy were on a little bit between Irv and Joe and when I started here with Alfred all those years ago. But that being said, it was certainly defined by Irv and Joe. There were some, who was I? Who am I? I mean, seriously.
You never want to be the guy that has to take over for the guy, right? That's a hard task.
And despite the fact I had been in this market for many years already, I certainly wasn't in this sort of world. And there's no reason Irv would have known me from Adam or needed to say anything, you know, especially with somebody that's, you know, at the time, relatively young whippersnapper, taken over in the spot that he was in. And Irv and Joe didn't leave this building, by the way. They did a show on AM 1600 for a chunk of time before they, you know, weren't working here anymore.
And they still did their deal, by the way. They still kept doing their show for a long time.
Let me tell you, for somebody that could have easily held something against me or didn't have to be friendly towards me, and I would never have thought second about it. Irv couldn't have been more welcoming or encouraging or asked me questions about myself. And I know I was getting in on the tail end of his broadcasting life rather than people who have been involved with him for years and years. So I knew Irv a little bit later on, and he couldn't have been nicer and a better pal to me and treat me with more respect when, frankly, who the heck was I in the first place? So my memories of Irv are a little bit different than a lot of other people, but he was a first-class guy. Every single moment I was lucky enough to be around him.
Well, that's an incredible story. It says a lot about the man. I mean, it's hard. It's hard to not have animosity towards somebody that's taken over your role, whether you're at a point in life where it's normal or not. That's human nature to have animosity. So great story. I mean, I've got, my stories aren't about a personal connection or anything, but I grew up here. So, I mean, that's what I knew. Those two guys, I mean, just amazing. I remember listening to them talking about John Elway as a kid, sitting in my dad's car talking about John Elway. Was John Elway past his prime? Was John Elway going to be able to do it?
Joe is something else. We always joked with Joe that he'd go on the air and say, see, I told you he couldn't win three.
Yeah, yeah.
But, yes, they were legendary.
But great cause. Encourage everybody to donate.
Yeah, so donate at denverfan.com. That is wild. You driving around in your car with your dad, hearing them talk about John Elway.
Dude,
that is wild.
I only went to like one or two Broncos games, but I remember being in the car listening to them debate that. Was John Elway a has-been? I don't have a ton of sports radio memories as a kid. I got that one.
That's awesome. That's good stuff. All right, hey, 54-34.
So
the Pacers
slowed down a teeny bit. We're...
Jokic is back in the game, by the way.
They're on pace for probably 150 points now.
Yeah, I don't know. Things kind of even out in the NBA.
They always
do. I would say the Nuggets are going to score 130 points in this particular ball game.
Jokic is back out there, by the way. I said if I was coaching, I'd just sit him down. I'd just be done for the night. Yeah. Okay, no issues with Michael Malone putting him out there. I don't have any beef with it, but I certainly would understand if you wanted to just say, hey, that's a good night. We got this thing under control. Thanks.
Yeah, I have no doubt the Nuggets are going to win this, but we'll see what the margins are. All right, tonight we got the Nuggets. We got the post-game show here. I got a little survivor with the wife. I don't know if I can convince her for another date night.
Really?
By the way, you know.
One's enough.
I'll ask her. I'll ask her if she wants. I had a blast taking my wife
out. Do you go on like a Survivor date night? Do you go watch Survivor at a bar?
She would love it.
Yeah?
I don't think there's a bar that would do it with the audio.
I always wonder who still watches Survivor.
We do.
I mean, that thing is the Survivor. That show, wow. Sticking around, buddy. Holy cow.
Tyler. It's been the same show for the past basically 19 years.
Well,
it's a bunch of people on an island. They vote. You know who they're going to vote out.
They're all going to turn their backs on one another.
Dude,
nobody's a good person.
They do the same stunts.
We talk about the free agent. It's all about the money. It's all about the money. They're all bad people.
But just know? If my wife is listening, I can't wait to see if I can't wait. I'm excited. I love it.
I got a few game balls for us tonight, D-Mac.
All right, let's go.
One we haven't talked about at all, but I just want to get it out there. It's kind of the fun little cool little story. A teammate of mine, CJ Anderson. CJ was a high school football coach last year.
Yeah.
This is a little bit of old news, but I hadn't brought it up yet. Wanted to get it out there. CJ Anderson is now coaching at Rice University, pursuing his dream.
Is one of the McCaffreys there at Rice still?
Is he? I don't know.
He
did go there. I don't know. Great, great point. I don't know. That's a fun one. But just a game ball to CJ for going out there doing his deal. You know, he's chasing the game. He's staying involved.
Good.
And he got a great job. It's a great start in his coaching career. Another game ball goes to Colorado State Ram. Trey McBride. Hey, man. Way to do your thing. Way to go out there. You had a lot on the line. You got a lot of NFL scouts at your pro day today. What do? You go out, you run a 4.56 40. Wow. Flat out impressed everybody. Sounds like Trey might be a first-round selection. Cecil thinks he should be a first-round selection. My last game ball is a little bit of a fun one, a little bit of behind the scenes. Did you catch it? Russell Wilson's got a new video out on YouTube, okay? And he's working in his office, and he's watching film, working on the iPad, and he's got, like, an assistant right next to him doing whatever they're doing. I don't know. but they've got the iPad projected up onto a TV behind him so you can see what he's working on. Very tired, by the way. He's very tired. He's got 25 different water bottles, very hydrated. But on the screen is a picture of Russ in a Broncos uniform, but it's a different uniform. Is Russ giving a little teaser about a maybe change in the uniforms? Is he giving a little glance towards the future, or does he just really love himself and he put a picture of himself that somebody photoshopped? I don't know. But either way, I love the behind-the-scenes access that Russ has given us.
Two things can be true at the same time.
No doubt about it. So thanks, Russ. Keep giving us inside access. Game ball goes to you. T-Mac, great job today. Kevin, right. Kistner, awesome stuff. We've got the good old Judge Dan Jacobs, Nick Ferguson coming up next.
Hey guys, Tyler Palumbus here to tell you about my new friends at Assignar. Colorado contractors get paid faster and save big time money with Assignar managing their construction operations. From instant crew and equipment scheduling to digital time tracking and forms, contractors using Assignar are averaging $30,000 per year in savings. Collect data from the field to make informed decisions from the office with Assignar platform and mobile app. Go to keepbuilding.com to request your free demonstration of Assignar and see how much your business can save.